guys got in there, including me, and we had this, we're the hammer, you know. And we found out that Alex is the anvil. So, anyhow, you can watch videos of that on Facebook, Mountain View Baptist Church Facebook page, and you'll see what I mean. But anyway, let's dismiss our junior church at this time, and we'll dismiss junior church. The rest of us take our Bibles, go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah, junior church is usually for about fourth grade on down, and we dismiss all of our young people at this time for junior church. Nehemiah chapter number 4. If you were here on Friday, I think you were blessed like I was with the amount of men and ladies that were here, the encouragement that it was, and as someone said this morning, the fun that was had, and the work that was done, and the slogan kept repeating. I heard other people say it: many hands make light work. And a verse came to mind, and I quoted it, and then I thought, I need to go look that up. And so it says in Nehemiah 4, verse 6, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The people had a mind to work. And when I started thinking about that, I started to read the whole chapter and to see what this whole chapter is about. I know the story of Nehemiah, but I started to get more interested, involved with it, and then it developed into a sermon today. So we're going to look at this whole chapter and talk about it today. Nehemiah, he was called of God to restore Jerusalem, to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and to see it restored. He was so broken and burdened because he was in Babylon, he was in Persia, he was in Babylon, where they had taken the city captive. They had taken the people of Israel, the people of Judah, as slaves, and they had basically destroyed the city, and it had sat for over 70 years just sitting there rotting away. And it was a broken-hearted situation for Nehemiah, and God used his broken heart and called him to be the one to go back. And God miraculously funded him and made sure that he had the funding to get it done. But he had lots of opposition when he got there. There was a guy named Sanballat and some others that were very much opposed to him rebuilding the city of Jerusalem and restoring hope to that part of the world. And so with that in mind, I want to read Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Let me just stop here and say that there will always be enemies. There will always be enemies. If you're a Christian, there will always be enemies. Verse 3, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." They'll always be mocking. He's saying, even if a fox, a little tiny, you know, lightweight fox crawled up on that wall, it would fall apart. And there'll always be scorning. There'll always be mocking. There'll always be opposition to what God wants done. It's been like that ever since the Garden of Eden. Satan is opposed to the things of God. There will always be an enemy. Let me remind you, though, as when I said enemies a little bit ago, there's a tendency for us to visualize somebody in our brain. There's a tendency for us to think about someone. All right? Can I remind you who the big enemy really is? It's the devil. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood ultimately. We wrestle against Satan himself. There will always be enemies who scorn and mock and oppose. Let me also say this. Unless you're a lukewarm Christian, then probably not. In other words, if you're not really doing anything for God, you probably won't have a whole lot of opposition. You probably won't have a whole lot of, you know, trouble from anyone. As long as you don't do anything, as long as you don't do the right thing, Harmony, you probably won't have any opposition. But if you do what's right and you do something for the Lord, after 70 years of having it broken down, the neighbors didn't want it to be rebuilt. After 70 years of having it one way, a whole generation of having it one way, they didn't want to see it restored back a different way. But you know what else, though? Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. A prayer immediately goes out. God, hear us, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Let me remind you of something else. The Bible says that he scorns. God scorns the scorner in Proverbs chapter 3, 34. God scorns the scorner, but he gives grace unto the lowly. We need to understand the importance of serving God, but serving him with a lowly and humble spirit so that he can provide the grace we so desperately need. You see, labor for God is not in vain. When you serve the Lord, it is not a waste of time. There's so much going on today that is unraveling everything someone thought was a good idea. But let me tell you one thing that isn't unraveling. The work of God is not unraveling. Did you know that? The word of God is not unraveling. And even though the gates of hell are prevailing against his churches, his church is not unraveling. All right? He's still in charge and he's still on the throne. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what I love about being in the ministry. What I love about ministry work and about serving the Lord is it's the one thing I know I can do that isn't a waste of time. It's a praise, it's a blessing, it's a joy. Now, let me tell you, there's heartaches. There's discouragement along the way, for sure. But overall, it is a blessing and a joy to serve the Lord. I hope you understand that. And I hope I even make you jealous and wish that you could be in full-time ministry. It wouldn't bother me. We probably need more, don't you think? But the point is that we're all to serve the Lord, whether we are the Nehemiahs or whether we are some other person along the wall doing what God would have us to do. Now, here's what it says here in verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites, so all four sides, north, south, east, west, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. The breaches were beginning to be plugged. The repairs were being made. And the enemy was getting angry. Let me tell you something. Satan gets really upset when he sees God's people doing and making advancement. And Satan's minions get upset when they see God's people making advancement and making progress and serving the Lord and doing what's right. I apologize to you ahead of time for saying the word mask in church. You visitors might not get that, but you know we're still fighting the mask idea here, all right? But there are people out there. Some old lady got her windshield bashed in because somebody saw that she didn't have a mask on, and they just took it upon themselves to smash her window in her car. Listen, folks, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But you know what? Satan's never been happy with God's work. Satan's never been happy with Christianity. He's never been happy with the things of God going forward. There's a lot to be lost when God's work gets done. For instance, I mean, if you're a drug dealer and all of a sudden people in your neighborhood start getting saved and they start getting unaddicted to your drugs, boy, you lose money. You know, the same thing applies with the liquor stores. The same thing applies with just everything. And so there's a lot of sin business that starts to get lost when God's people get right. And when all of a sudden a revival happens, boy, but a lot of, and so there's just a lot of anger and stuff that happens and behind the scenes stuff that goes on. There's just stuff that people get worked up about. And of course, a lot of it's just selfish. And of course, Sanballat and his crew, they were selfish in all this. But it says in verse 6, so built we the wall, for the people had a mind to work. Now, I want to say one more thing before I get started with my main points today, and that is, down in verse number, well, let's just keep reading verse 7 and following. I already read verse 7, verse 8, and conspired all of them. They conspired together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. I'm not a conspiracy theorist with a tinfoil hat on my head, but there's definitely conspiracies that go on. There's no doubt about it. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. That's where the title of this whole message is from, verse 6 and verse number 9. Work, pray, and watch. Work, pray, and watch. But then verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in amidst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. There was discouragement from without. But you know what's probably the most discouraging thing of all is when it comes from within. You know, Sanballat, Tobiah, you know, these people on the outside and their mockery and their scorn and their opposition and their fighting against the wall being built, that's one thing. But Judah, verse 10, that's his own people. Judah says, it's a waste of time. There's a lot of rubbish. And we're not going to be able to build it. The strength is gone. Can't be done. I'm not Nehemiah, but I am in a leadership position. And let me just tell you, that's the worst discouragement of all. When the people on the inside say, can't be done. When they get a negative spirit, that's hard to deal with. But let me show you what happened in the rest of the chapter. Verse 13, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Number one, notice the workers' position. Oh, there were some that were in opposition. As a matter of fact, if you read the whole book, you'll find out that Sanballat and Tobias, they had some relatives that were on the inside. There was some intermarriage going on there, and so there was some in-laws that were kind of 50-50, if you know what I mean. And we know how that works, right? Well, all of a sudden there's family involved, and so there was some discouragement from the inside because there was connection to the outside. You see how that goes? But notice here, he says in verse 13, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people. I'm going to stop there for a minute. The lower places and the higher places. You know, God's work is more than just staining a building. But I want to use it as an example. You know, there's lower places and there's higher places. I was one of the lower places the other day, and somebody up high was spilling stain all over me. Lower places and high places. If you were building that wall back there in Jerusalem, and you were on the lower places, down at the bottom, number one, there's not much you get to see. There's not much you get to observe. And number two, there's not many people observing you either. You know what I've noticed a lot of times when it comes to serving the Lord? A lot of us want the higher places because we can see more and more people can see us. Can I say beware of that? Can I say praise God for those who are working the lower places? You know, the lower places don't get noticed as much. But the lower places are important. What do you mean by lower places? Well, you know, some of us, we don't mind visiting maybe a certain someone and having a social visit and maybe a time to visit with them about the Lord and witness to them and win their soul to the Lord and talk to them about the Lord. But then there's those other places in town. And maybe those other age people in town. And maybe they're not as clean or as comfortable. Listen to me. God's work is in the lower places and in the high places. And may I say to you that before David ever killed a Goliath, David was faithful as a shepherd where nobody even knew him, knew anything about him. Joseph, before he became second in command of all of Egypt and all of the world, was in the lower places. Some of us are good when it comes to the high places of position. Hey, Pastor, I'll do that. That sounds like I might get some recognition. Hey, you know what? God needs some people in the low places. Be careful that you're not too proud for God to use you. I want to just say thank you. I'm not going to say any names, but say thank you to a lot of the folks that make up this church who work behind the scenes. In fact, you'd rather not be in the high places. That are just in the low places working. You know, there's one person in particular, I'm not going to say names, but their spouse has passed away. They are no longer married. But yesterday, they were here. Nobody saw that, except I was here studying, so I saw it. There's a lot of stuff that we do that nobody notices, and the high places get noticed, but you know who looks down and says, I see those low place people. I see the low place workers. I see what they're doing. I haven't forgot you. If there wasn't the low place workers, the wall wouldn't have got built. It's so important that we recognize the position God has given us to play, the role that He's given us to do. Listen, you might be a member here and you've never cleaned a toilet in this church. Can I encourage you to do something for your own sake? Clean a toilet. I have many times. Not because we need the toilet cleaned, but because you need to clean the toilet. Do you understand the difference? God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Be both lower and higher wherever God has placed you. Notice also that after their families, Nehemiah was wise to put their families all together, working together. I love that. I love how God's way is always for families to work together. You read Deuteronomy 6, it talks about when you walk with your children, you talk to your children. You know, the world system is to separate families and rip families apart. But God's way is for always, and so there is always the ability for families to work together and to do things together. You know, when it comes to going to church, you can do it as a family. When it comes to going out and witnessing and talking to other people, you can do it as a family. When it comes to cleaning the building, you can do that as a family. There's so many things that God's work that can be done as a family. There's just so much about it that's wonderful in that way. Because what happens? Well, as a family, we work together, and I'm able to teach my kids the importance of it. Here's what I've noticed with my own family. They've been doing it so long that they just, that's the way we got to do it. Because that's the way Mom and Dad's been doing it. That's the way we were showed to do it. That's how it's supposed to be done. Work together as a family. Serve the Lord together as a family. Secondly, notice the worker's reminder, verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Listen to Rush Limbaugh. I'm sorry. I got a different Bible. Let me get to the right page here. Be not afraid of them. Remember who? There is something psychological, there's something spiritual about focusing on the one we need to focus on. Remember the Lord. I don't know about you, but I get so busy doing God's work, you know, and building the wall, and I get frustrated. And I get frustrated because something didn't happen right, or somebody didn't show up, or this didn't happen, or that didn't happen, and I get frustrated. And you know what? We need to stop and remember the Lord. Sometimes I get frustrated because the enemy's doing stuff, and they're knocking down the wall, and they're threatening, and they're doing all this stuff, and remember the Lord. Notice the worker's reminder here is remember the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If I tear down any politician around here, even if they're, you know, good in some ways, let me tell you something. It's only because I want you to
want you to look at the Lord.
Remember who it's really about. Remember the Lord. It says in verse 14, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And then it says, and fight for your brethren. You know, it's interesting. When you focus on the Lord, you start to focus on other people. You start to remember what it's all about. It's not about me. It's amazing how when I'm looking at the Lord, it's like Isaiah 6. Woe is me. When I'm focusing on the Lord, it's no longer about me. It's about everybody else. It's about the brethren and what they need. Remember the Lord and fight for your brethren. And also your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Remember, it's for the Lord. I was thinking the other day, again, I'm just using the staining day as an example, but I couldn't help but notice that Treg brought his three little ones, and the oldest one was helping to stain. But you know that little one, the little goober, you know, that goes everywhere with that little purple teddy bear thing that she's got? She was not appreciating what we were doing. Oh, she's having fun because she's with all of us. And she got a free meal at the end of the day, too. She was having fun. But she wasn't really appreciating. But you know what? There might come a day when she's maybe 16, 18, 20 years old. I remember those old geezers out there staying in this building. I remember my dad bringing... I remember... And they did that for me. They did that. They did all the behind... That guy driving that van and picking us up and dad bringing it. Listen, remember who it's for. It's for the Lord. And fight for your brethren. Hey, you know what's going on right now? What's going on right now is a tool of the devil that is so anti-American. He's dividing we the people. Okay? And it started in church. I mean, churches get divided. And there's division. What was a blessing the other day was everybody's working together. Nobody's dumping stain on each other, on purpose anyway. Nobody's mad at each other. There's just the people had a mind to work, and there was cohesive working going on. It was a blessing to behold. Listen to me. The devil wants to destroy that. His whole game is divide and conquer. His whole game is to get us to be all by ourselves and to think it's impossible, we can't be done. And to listen to the Judahites who are saying, oh, it's too big, it's too impossible, there's too much garbage in the way, we'll never get it done. Notice also the workers' encouragement. The people had a mind to work. Verse 6, and the wall was joined together. Notice also verse 15, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. The enemies were stopped. God had brought their counsel to naught. And even the doubters on the inside were silenced. Oh, it can't be done. Can't be done. Can't be done. Hey, you know what? Sometimes people on the inside get so proud about their prediction. Oh, that church is going to fall apart. You know what happens? They start wanting it to fall apart to prove that they were right. But it got done. The Bible says it took them 52 days and they got it done. Now, they didn't do it by themselves. God did it for them. And he brought the council to naught. The workers were encouraged. Then notice also verse 13 and verse 16 through 18. Verse 16, it came to pass, verse 16, that from the time forth at the halt, that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, and they which builded on the wall, and they which bare burdens, with those that laid it every one, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Notice the workers' weapons. They each had a trowel, and they each had a sword. They each were building, and they each were battling. They were being aggressive, and they were being defensive. You know something? That's the way it is for the Christian life. The Christian life is about building something And it's about battling at the same time. There's always going to be a battle. If you're doing something for the Lord, there's going to be a battle. But you know what? You got to be careful, because remember, it's work and prayer and watch. We have to be careful that we don't allow the watching to get the consumed time. That we don't start getting all wound up about the watching. I mentioned talk radio a minute ago. What I appreciate about Nehemiah is that he didn't start a talk radio program to talk about everything Sanballat's doing. I appreciate the fact that he didn't start an army to go fight them. Now, he had a defensive weapon in case they came across the line. But he decided, God will fight my battles. And I'll have a sword in one hand, I'll have a trowel in the other. We'll just get the job done. Hey, you know what? That's the way it is if you're a parent. If you're a parent, Jada, do you know something? If you're a parent, you've got to be watching. And you've got to be building. Never in my time as a parent can I say, well, I'll tell you what. As long as I keep all the bad things away, my kids will turn out good. Because it's more than that. I know people that they never allow Hollywood in their home whatsoever, no TV at all, and I mean they're very, and they do very good with the sword part of it. I mean, they're but you know what? They forgot to build. On the other hand, I know people that they're very much into building, but they didn't recognize that there's also some battling going on. Listen, you've got an enemy. His name is Satan. Every family in here, every individual in here, you have an enemy. I look at these young girls right here. They're beautiful. They are wonderful. I love them to death. But I guarantee you this, and I want you to understand this. Satan hates your guts. Satan's already trying to design some guy that's going to catch your eye. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And there's got to be battling as well as building. And as a parent, there's battling and building at the same time. And as a church, there's battling and building going on. But at the same time, we recognize, you know what? It's the building we're trying to get done. We'll let God deal with the enemies ultimately. It's if all we did was fight all the time, we didn't build it. And so the trowel and the sword, the building and the battling, the aggressive and the defensive. And let me stop here and say something. Praise God for the enemies. What? Praise God for the enemies. You know why? Because if you wasn't always fighting an enemy, you might not hang on to the sword very tight. Praise God for COVID-19. Praise God for a government that's out of control. Well, how many are starting to read their Bibles more? How many are starting to say, you know what, I think maybe I need to know more about this? Look, we don't like necessarily the pressures that drives us to the book, but the book's what we need. The sword, the Word of God's a sword. And so I even praise God for the pressure from the enemy. Then notice this, verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people that work, the work is great and large. We're separated one upon the wall, one from another. I'm sure some of the visitors here today are encouraged by our church. Maybe somebody in here that's visiting, your church isn't having church. I don't know. I know there are churches in America right now that are not having church. They're not. The word church means assembly. You can't have church unless you're assembled. Okay? The word church means assembly, and we are assembled today. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to some people on live stream right now who have done nothing but sat on the top of a roof preaching to their neighbors because they can't assemble. And we're spread out, and sometimes it gets discouraging, and you start to feel like you're all alone. Boy, that is frustrating. Again, that's Satan's method, divide and conquer. And Nehemiah says we're spread out far from another. As we get this job done. But verse 20, this is what he says. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither, thither unto us, and our God shall fight for us. I realize we've got Christians who are visiting from out of town today. and you're going to go back to where you are, and we might not ever see each other again. But can I remind you of this? We're all listening for the same trumpet. The trumpet's going to sound someday. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Revelation, we've been talking about the last trumpet. The trumpet's going to sound. We're listening for that. We're not listening for the election in November. We're listening for a trumpet. We're listening for that sound that's going to reunite all of us together. And I want to encourage you with the understanding that no matter what, no matter how alone you might feel, God's still in charge, and one day His trumpet's going to sound. Now, notice this. Verse 21, so we labored in the work. And half of them that held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. From dawn until dusk. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put on them off for washing. Except for just simply washing our clothes, we just stayed busy. Have you ever been that busy before? I built my house years ago in Wyoming. And I'm telling you, the time the sun came up, we read our Bibles, we ate our oatmeal, and boom, we went to work. And we were working past the sun going down. You talk about exhausted, but we were motivated. And we had a purpose, we had a desire, we had a plan. And we worked, and we were dedicated to it. These guys, from sun up until the stars showed, they were working. They didn't have to, other than they were told that they should. And they traded their personal liberty for some service.
You say, hold up. This is the part of the sermon where you're trying to get more service out of us. I can see it right now. I can see what you're trying to do.
Can I tell you something? In this country, there's so many Christians that haven't been serving God that the liberty's been taken away. You go back and study our American heritage. God gave us this freedom so we could serve Him. And serving God is way more free than not.
Pastor, I'm retired. I moved to Custer, and I'm retired. Amen. Are you dead yet? Because if you're not dead yet, God's got something for you to do. But it's exhausting. I know. The other day, one guy sat in the pavilion and said, I can't work anymore. Now, to be fair, he's old enough to be my father. He said, my bucket don't work anymore. I can't hold it anymore.
But you know what? It's a happy exhausting when you serve the Lord. Because your labor's not in vain. Because you know who you're doing it for. There's a purpose behind it. Now, I want to talk about the reward. You say, well, that's the end of the chapter. Where's the reward? Well, first of all, chapter 6:15, it says that they finished it in 52 days. That's not really what I wanted to show you. I want to show you Daniel chapter 9. Well, how important is it to build this stupid wall anyway? If your labor's for the Lord, it's not in vain. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, there's a prophecy. And it goes like this. Know ye therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. I'm just going to stop right there. Do you know that Jesus couldn't come and be born in Bethlehem? Jesus couldn't come and be born in Bethlehem and then have his ministry of 3.5 years and die on a cross. Jesus couldn't have done all that until that wall got built. Do you know that the building of that wall was the pivot point of the prophecy that was going to happen? Do you understand that that wall had to be built in order for Jesus to come back and be born and then to be in the city of Jerusalem? Without Jerusalem being rebuilt, there's no Jesus coming back. You understand the importance of your job and my job to do what God's given us to do? Great things will happen. And I'm telling you that every one of those builders, including Nehemiah, didn't see it in their lifetime, but they looked over heaven's balcony and said, wow, the wall we built, look who's walking around in it now. Young ladies, young men, there could be some gray-haired people in here that will look over heaven's balcony and say, wow, look at what Daniel's doing now. Wow, look at Alex. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you built the Sears Tower or if you built the Arch in St. Louis, if you carved Mount Rushmore. I don't care what other work you did. Nothing will be as permanent as if you serve the Lord. Nothing will be as appreciated as serving the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the people had a mind to work and to pray and to watch. That's just what we do. We serve Him, we pray, and we keep a watch. Why do we keep a watch? Because the devil has not retired yet. The devil is just always moving. The devil is always ambitious. And so we got to watch. You say, not my kid. My kid, I'm telling you, my kid is they're golden. There's a real devil. You always watch. My kid is perfect. There's a real devil. My marriage is tops. There's a devil. We watch. I don't need to pray for Pastor Matt. He walks on water. You better be watching. You better be praying. We work, we pray, and we watch. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for encouragement from Nehemiah. Lord, the enemy is real. We know it. But the job has to be done. And it might not be glamorous, and it might not seem to make sense. And it might not seem to have a great instant reward. But there's a purpose behind it all. God, we know. Help us to believe and trust you. Lord, I thank you for the young and old alike. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that it is to my heart to see people serving you. Help us to not quit until you return. Until we hear that trumpet sound, help us to just keep doing the job you gave us to do on the wall and continue to serve you. To work, to pray, and to watch. And we know that you're coming again. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.